Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Hello, Vol Nation. Welcome to another episode of Believe in Tennessee Football. I'm your host, as always, Kyler Kurverson, joined with Reed Bacon. Got another great one for you. We're breaking down the Vandy game, talking about who we thought performed well, who we thought didn't, and also talking about the seniors, all the stuff that they've had to go through, the coaching regimes, and them sticking it out, even through a transfer portal, and what that means to us as fans and supporters of this team. And we also talk about the coaching carousel that's going on, learning news at Lincoln Riley's, going to USC, that Florida's hiring Billy Napier, and what that means for Josh Heupel and everything moving forward. So breaking it all down, great podcast. Let's jump into
the
it.
Game. Snap, the kick is in the air, and the kick this time is no, sir, Reed. No, sir, Reed. Final score, Tennessee 20, Florida 17. Pandemonium reigns.
Looks, loads up, fires long for the end zone. The pass is going to be caught. Tennessee wins. Caught by Tennessee, Jawan Jennings. Jennings makes the catch in the end zone on the Hail Mary.
Down at the 35, to the 40, to the 45, to the 50, to the 45, to the 40, to the 35, 30, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5. What did he do? All he did was score. Joey Pitt, touchdown on play number one.
Okay, so before we jump into the podcast, got to shout out our number one sponsor, betonline.ag. You got to go there to bet on any games. Listen. Football, full swing. We're getting into bowl games. We're getting into college football playoffs. It's getting a later half of the NFL, you know, maybe some playoffs coming up. Basketball's in full swing. NBA, college basketball, now just starting up. To make all those games more exciting, you got to bet on them. Put some money down. It really gets the adrenaline going. So for stats, for odds, for spreads, everything that you need, betonline.ag is the place to go. Right now, they've just updated their desktop version of their website, so it looks brand new. So go there or on your mobile device, and when you sign up, you'll receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit if you use code BELIEVE50. That's BLEAV50. So make sure and use that when you first sign up and you receive that 50% welcome bonus, which is just, hey, it's extra money. Why wouldn't you do it? So head on over to betonline.ag. It's the best place to do any bets. It's just the best sports book out there. So go on over. All right. Welcome in, everybody. Got another amazing show here breaking down the South Alabama game. But first, Reed, how are we doing, bud?
Hey, big boy. I'm, as you guys can see, new background. I'm in Memphis at my aunt and uncle's house, and I'm in their office space. I'm just kind of pissed right now. I'm gonna be honest. Like, I suck at gambling, so lost the past 2 days. And like, it's sometimes it's not even about the money. It's just I'm super competitive, and so I just get really frustrated when I lose the Titans. I mean, I love how they fight, and I knew we were going to lose today, but of course, like, they fought really hard and had a chance to keep it close, and then the Patriots ended up pulling away. Like, they're good. Like, dude, half our entire team is gone. Like, we'll see you in the playoffs, you losers.
No, absolutely.
And so they pissed me off.
Earlier in the week, they said we hit the 84-person mark. 84 people on the roster is the highest – that has ever been in the NFL, because you're only allowed a 53-man roster. We have had that many injuries that it is now we have had 84 guys on our roster, which is insane.
Everybody wants to talk about Derek, and we get it. Everyone wants to talk about AJ and Julio. But the fact that we don't have a guy like a David Long, who has played very, very good football for us. We don't have Rashawn Evans. We don't have our starting right guard, Nate Davis. We don't have Bud Dupree. You know, we don't have a guy who's supposed to be our third receiver, and well, Josh Reynolds, and asked for release. Now he's gone, and then Marcus Johnson gets hurt. So it's just like, and that's what I love, and that's why, as a Titans fan, I feel so good about the future, because I just love, like, it doesn't matter who's in there, they're going to play hard and they're going to compete. When you're playing with Mike, you know, under Coach Vrabel, which is one of the reasons I love Heupel. Like, doesn't matter who's in there, like, you better do what you're supposed to do and do the job. And so, I don't know, I'm just frustrated today. And then, but it's been a great, you know, Thanksgiving week, and I'm super happy to be down here in Memphis and hang out with the family. But a lot of news to jump into. Like I was literally just getting out of the shower, and my uncle walks in and is like, Lincoln Riley to USC. And so, like, A, that's like, wow, like, that's really, it's like, okay, like, that's kind of surprising. But when I think about it, I would go to USC going to, I'd either go to Q, I'd go to USC. I'm not staying in Oklahoma when the fact that they got to go to the SEC soon. But the only reason, obviously, we all care is what does that do to Coach Heupel? And I would just go ahead and lay it out there. I would be very, very, very bummed we lost Coach Heupel. I would be very bummed out.
Yeah. Now, I didn't know if we wanted to start the episode with this, but I guess we will. Lincoln Riley going to USC. What exactly does that mean? And I said this on the first podcast we had when we hired Heupel, that is this a possible scenario of the Oklahoma job being open and him leaving, knowing that he played at Oklahoma, knowing he was offensive coordinator at Oklahoma? Like, that was my immediate thought. And in my head, I said, am I being an irrational UT fan? Am I just worrying that much because of the fact that's happened to us before with Lane Kiffin, his quote unquote dream job? Is that what caused me to feel that way, or is it an actual possibility? Now it's here. Back then, when Heupel got hired, Oklahoma and Texas weren't going to the SEC. Oklahoma was still the best job in the Big 12. It was a guarantee.
Well, I mean, Texas is just as good of a job. But, okay, sorry, continue.
Yeah, okay. Texas is just as good of a job, you can say. But over the past 10, 15 years, Oklahoma has been to the college football playoffs.
Agreed.
They've had
Agreed.
Three Heisman winners or Heisman finalists and two winners. Like, they're crushing it over there. So there was in no one's thought process, Lincoln Riley's leaving there. But then things happen to where Oklahoma is now going to the SEC. It's a lot tougher competition. It's not going to be as easy for him to get to the playoffs, to win games, to win his conference. Now the USC job opens. It wasn't really a thing back then. Now it's open. You could really, if you lock down the West Coast, whatever school is over there that is the best locks down the whole coast. And it's like, talk about somewhere that recruits itself. It's like, you've said that about Florida before. You've even said that about Tennessee. Like, down in Florida, they've got Miami, they've got Florida State. They got to compete with, right? And it's easier to win at Florida State and Miami, right? In Texas, they have Oklahoma to compete with. They have every Texas team, A&M, Texas Tech, Baylor. They all got to compete with those guys. It's not, yes, the Longhorns is more of a known name, but they have so much to compete with. USC has UCLA and Oregon, but like, they can easily lock that down. Like, it is so easy, because Oregon, I understand they're very flashy. They got the Nike deal. They got all the uniforms, but everything besides that sucks. I was there at the game when we played against Oregon up in Oregon. It's depressing as hell. It looks absolutely awful up there. The stadium sits like 65,000. Like, it's not even that big. And Oregon is like an ultimate choke artist. Like, once they get to where, like, they're so close to being national champions and everything, and then they just boop, just fall off. They'll lose a game. They'll just choke on it. So USC is definitely, I think, in my mind, more valuable than like a Florida job or possibly even a Texas job, because I think it is easier at USC than it would be at Texas, than it would be at Florida.
Because, well, you're not even mentioning probably the best opening out there, which is where he was rumored to go, which was LSU. And USC is a much easier job than LSU. Now, you go to LSU and he's going to have talent galore, but he also has to play Nick Saban every year. And, you know, the SEC is just going to be much tougher. So the fact that he's going out there is, in my opinion, awesome of him. I would do the same thing. It's very smart of him. I mean, he's going to be making great money living in California, and he's probably going to have a long contract there. And it, if he doesn't succeed there, it's probably only going to be because of him, because it is, the Pac-12 is a joke, and he could go and win 10 games a year out there, do what he's doing at Oklahoma, you know, and then make his bounce to the NFL if he wants to. So anyways, yes, taking the USC job is very smart. Now Oklahoma has to replace. And I have heard rumors that Heupel wouldn't want to go back there because of he got fired, and like he was fired there, and it's kind of a weird thing when, I don't know if it was offensive coordinator or a quarterback's coach. But it's also like a little bit different to go back as the quote unquote hometown hero, because if you do go back and it doesn't work out, then it's just like, it's really, really awkward. Like it's like if John Harbaugh ends up getting fired at Michigan, like if he had lost again yesterday and he was supposed to be their savior, what's going to happen with Scott Frost at Nebraska? And it's just like those guys that are like, are the Peyton Mannings for us. Well, then it's like, it kind of, you know, the hometown kid, like I'm here in Memphis, and they brought Penny Hardaway back to be their basketball coach down here. And like now half the city knows that he's not that good of a coach and he brings in talent, but like, he's not going to be the favorite son anymore. So it's just, so I don't know if Heupel thinks of that. I know he's not from Oklahoma, but like he played there, and you know, you never know what someone's thinking and thoughts and all this stuff. Like everyone was saying, just last night at the press conference, Lincoln Riley saying, I'm not going to LSU. I'm not going to be the head coach at LSU. Well, he wasn't lying, you know, but he's not at Oklahoma. Exactly. So for me, like, I get why he went to USC. And all I can say is I will be very, very bummed out, because I've said on this podcast for an entire season, for months, that I love Heupel. And I think we're heading in such a good direction with him. We have an advantage on the sideline with him. The only thing I was somewhat worried about with him is recruiting. And, you know, we'll see how that goes. But, man, if we lose him, it'll be – it would honestly, Kyler, probably be – I'm not going to say the lowest that we've been in 10 to 15 years, because I wouldn't know who they're bringing in to hire. But we really, really, really feel like we're – washing ourselves of all the last year's of Fulmer, the Kiffin debacle, the Dooley debacle, the Butch, and, you know, and then all the Pruitt stuff. Wow, we finally have a guy that we love. And then if he leaves us for his – and it happens again, like when Kiffin left us, this would be like WTF, like, what, like, I know we're almost numb to stuff, but I know we've all gotten our hopes up after the season. There's no way not to be.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like I said, like when we predicted record, like I thought it was going to be 5-7. Now we're 7-5. Like, hopes are definitely higher than people would have expected. And I mentioned this the first podcast when he got hired, that would he go to Oklahoma? And I, like, if you look at it from an outside perspective, because we've talked about the Lincoln Riley going to LSU, how it's a better move than staying at Oklahoma or going somewhere else. Like, what, like, who would want to be the Florida coach? Like, would Lane Kiffin want Miami, or would he want Florida? Like, we've talked about other coaches going to these schools and saying, like, oh, obvious, like, this is a better choice for them. From outsider's perspective, not a Tennessee fan, and I think this way, what, like, if you're looking at it, Oklahoma is a better job than Tennessee at this moment, with NCAA violations, coming about with the strength of the SEC as it is, and with the amount of guys that you already have on roster at OU. Like, if you're looking at it from an outside perspective, that OU job is very, very tempting.
I don't, the one thing that makes me say, no, it's not as tempting as you think it is because he's already started laying and building his foundation here. And Oklahoma is going to be competing in the SEC anyway. So he's like, it's not like he's going back and having an easy run through the Big 12. Like, they're going to be in the SEC anyway. So it's like, why don't you stay where you've already started building your foundation? And
well,
like,
because they're not coming over till 24 or something like that. So he is going to have 2 years to build his foundation before he steps in SEC play, already knowing what SEC play is like because he spent a year as a head coach here.
We don't know for sure if it's going to be 2024. What if they buy out the contracts and they're like, all right, well, we're by next year or 2 years from now. Oklahoma is obviously a better program right now, but that doesn't mean they're a better job. I mean, like they might be, I mean, it's just so hard in not being a homer, but like with the facilities, with the renovations, with Danny White, a guy that he's very comfortable with, that he's like we all love him right now. Like, I'm going to promise you right now, if he got hired in Oklahoma, not everyone's going to be fired up about that hire. I can guarantee you that. So yeah, it's going to be really tough to not want to stay where you are and continue building, you know, where you're loved, where you're liked, all that stuff. That's just my opinion, but we will have plenty of time to talk about this. I want to, because we're going to have all offseason to talk about Billy Napier to Florida, which, by the way, that does not scare me in the least. I would be more scared of Dan Mullen still on the sidelines compared to Billy Napier.
Oh, for sure.
I don't care about that. We'll wait and see what happens with Josh Heupel. But we're going to talk about Tyon Evans leaving. Who cares? I'm done. That's all I got to say. It's like, everyone freaks out. It is amazing to me. And I'm a very emotional person. I get very fired up for my teams and for the Titans and for the Vols and for different stuff. But it's almost like comical and kind of gross to me that fans are like, oh my gosh, I can't believe you're leaving. Like, oh my gosh, like reconsider. Like, you're an incredible player. Like, dude, these fans, Tennessee fans, are amazing fans, but wait till we actually get an incredible player. Like, once we get like another Perry, like they're like worshipped. I mean, this guy played like 5 games for us, and these people are acting like it's a huge deal. Like, give me a break. He's a running back. It's a plug and play position in Heupel's offense. It wasn't like he's going to win the Heisman Trophy. Like, it's just silly. Like, I feel bad for people that they get that wrapped up and emotional about an 18-year-old kid who didn't really do much for us. We were saying it all year. Like, he's fine, but I mean, all the other options we have. And it's just what happened last year when Ty Chandler and Eric Gray left. And everyone's like, oh, I just hate that they left. We don't even think about them now. Like our running backs were just as good, so it doesn't matter. So stop worrying about a kid leaving. The only time we should ever worry about someone leaving is if they're a quarterback, and that's about it. Maybe if someone's a big, big-time pass rusher or, like, you know, offensive lineman, like something like that, that's a really important position.
Yeah, there's a reason why – the running back isn't seen as such an important position in the NFL. There's a reason why people see it as like, you don't draft a running back early. There's a reason why, like, you have to have good running backs at the 2 and 3 spot, because running backs, I mean, they make a difference. Like, if you have the top tier guy, like a Derrick Henry, like, you can see the difference in the Titans team when Derrick Henry is there. But if you have, I mean, why is Saquon Barkley not making the Giants an amazing team? You know what I mean? Like, why aren't the Panthers just amazing with Christian McCaffrey? It's like, running back isn't that much of an important position as like quarterback or edge rusher or offensive lineman, like you stated, which is usually the top 10 picks consist of those guys in the NFL, just as like reference so people understand. But in no way was I upset or like, you know, oh, woe is me, we're done. because before the season started, we said it, we could have five running backs with, or four running backs with 500 yards. Like we said it before the season, that everyone is even keel, like everyone is in the same plane. They're all doing really well. They're decent running backs that can do decent things, and they're not going to be, you know, the Alvin Kamaras of the world, but they're still going to go out there and run hard and maybe pick up 3 to 4 yards a carry, which is exactly what we want. And in no way did I think like, oh, now we're just going like our whole program is going downhill because this Ty and Evan leaves. I was just more confused than anything. Like, why is this happening? Why is he going to the transfer portal? Like what is going on here? And it seems as if it was a combination of things. It wasn't necessarily just, hey, you're not going to play as much, or we like these guys over you, or we're bringing in other guys. It was like, oh, there might also be some class work stuff going on, that he's not doing well in class, and then, you know, everything like that that goes into it that would cause someone to transfer. Because, I mean, honestly, it's like a get-out-of-jail-free card for some of these guys who stuck at school and just can't pass a class to save their life. Like when I look back and remember, like Cordero Patterson was here for 8 months and he failed like every single one of his classes in the fall. And the, like, he was like, yeah, I would enjoy to come back and play again, but I can't, I have to go to the draft because I'm not going to be eligible next year. That's how bad I failed all my classes. So it's like a free thing for these guys is being like, oh, well, I'm at a different school now. So like me failing those classes in the fall, this other school doesn't really matter towards my eligibility. So I think that is going to be taken advantage of a lot of guys that do struggle in the classroom.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like, I mean, he thought he was going to go to the NFL, then he got hurt, and then he got banged up. So now he's probably like, well, dang, I can't go to the NFL, but, or maybe I can try to get drafted late or free agent or whatever. And then it's like, or I can just go to school, like you said, and just, and I don't know how that affects his grades. Like what if he tries to go to a lower, like what if he tried to go to Western Kentucky? And it's like, well, does that affect that his grades? Cause he didn't, and they're not from UT. Like, I don't get that, but it's, all that stuff still doesn't matter to me. It's just gross that people like literally poop their pants over it. And it's like, take a deep breath, realize what you're worried about, and who cares? I'm so over. If you don't want to be here, go leave. And everyone's always gonna say, oh, the culture, this culture, that. Like, shut the fuck up. All we care about ultimately as fans is what we do on Saturdays. That's it. How we win. Do we win games? And the guy just won. He went 7-5, has a chance to go 8-5. That's all that matters. Judge what you see, and hell with who's leaving and whatever. It doesn't matter. And by the way, for fans who aren't going to see, Kyler just took a comb and combed his mustache. So I just want you all to appreciate that.
Wow, I really did not think you'd call me out like that. I'll show you, for everyone who wants to see, this is my beard/mustache brush. And yes, I do use it. Yes, that is why my mustache looks amazing every show. And I also have some mustache wax, so you can suck it, Reed.
My uncle always used to call mustaches nut dusters, and it always cracked me up. And but I will say, I've always said, like, you're the one person that looks good with a stash, like. It looks good. So, but I mean, hey, do you, big dog? You're a good looking guy. So if you
Wow. It's definitely different now that I've, you know, lost 50, 60 pounds. It helps the face, the jawline. It helps with the mustache. So yeah. Back when I was a little heavier and I had the nice chin strap in college, it didn't quite look as nice.
All right, senior day. This is a big deal, and it's been a big deal for the past 5, 6, 7, 8 years for some of these seniors that have come through Tennessee because of some of the different stuff they've gone through. And I'm going to read through who went through, who didn't go through. What does that mean for next year? And we can talk a little bit about the Vandy game. And then I just want to ask before we wrap everything up, like how you felt going through senior day, because seeing Alante Taylor yesterday, and I know it's been all over Twitter and everyone's talking about it, but like that is awesome, because as fans, I do think there's times that we care more about the University of Tennessee than maybe some of the guys that are on the team. Now, I don't mean that for all of them. But I think there's times where like maybe a season starts going south and people are like, okay, well, I'm going to play for my stats, or I'm going to play for the NFL, or I'm not going to play because I want to stay healthy for the NFL. And as fans, like some fans don't get that. They're like, this University of Tennessee, it's the greatest place on earth. Like, why are you not playing hard? And all the fans are like, if I was out there, I'd give my all for Tennessee. It's like, well, yeah, we get that. Like, and we appreciate that. But like, you aren't a good enough athlete. But there are some people like yourself and Alante Taylor and other players that have come from the state of Tennessee or Knoxville and have got to experience that. So I think that's when you get the ultimate kind of special emotions coming out. And Alante's been a guy who – he's had some ups and downs, but the one thing that you can never question about that guy is his heart and how hard he competes. And I will always, always respect somebody for that. I think he had a good senior year. I really do. And I hope nothing but for the best for him in the NFL. Maybe he'll get a chance. And I think he could be a really good nickel because he is aggressive. I think he'll be a good special teams player. But just some of these other seniors that went through. So obviously, Valus Jones, Javonte Payton, which I'm gonna hate not seeing both those guys out there next year. Theo Jackson, what a hell of a way for him on his senior day with getting that pick six. It was awesome. That's as storybook as you can get, and I mean as you can get, because we're not playing in an SEC championship or national championship. So hey, your last home game, get a pick six. Jaquan Blakely, man, and Caleb. I mean, those two guys. I have so much respect for both those guys. How they came in this year, not the most high known guys. I mean, Caleb had a little pub because he was a transfer from USC, but I didn't know what to expect from him. And the kid played so hard. He played with very nice and heavy hands. And both him and Jay Blakely were awesome. I thought they were awesome. And then my guy Matthew Butler, I'm gonna miss him, dude. Like I have a total man crush on how he plays the game, leader he is, what kind of just guy he seems to be. I don't know him, so I can only speak from what I see in interviews and how I hear people talk about him. But to be the guy, and it's easy, it would be easier to say it now because we know he's a good player. But can you imagine when it was back in April and May, and he's like, hey, if you don't want to be here, leave. And I'm like, yeah, okay, like, cool, well, that's sweet. Like, it sounds cool to say that now, and you're going to be like a role. I was dead wrong. Like he was even that much. Like, leave. We'll be fine without you. Like we don't need you. And then some guys that, you know, Aubrey Solomon went through, you know, I don't know whatever happened to that guy, but I love the fact that Latrell Bumpus didn't go through because I would love to see him back another year to redshirt and to come back. You know, obviously one of the other big things is Hendon Hooker. I mean, that is so massive. I don't think we still know for sure if he's coming back or not. I mean, obviously, that's a great telltale sign that he does want to come back. But that is huge for this program. It is huge for Josh Heupel because he gets to build with another quarterback going into year two. And I think that's massive. I know everybody wanted Cade to come back. And I had buddies like, oh, Cade might come back. He might want to play with his brother again. And he's from Tennessee. He loves Tennessee. Newsflash, guys, like, Cade's always cared about going to the NFL. Like, that's just what it is for Cade. Like, I once again, don't know him personally. I know you know him, and I'm not trying to speak out of turn, but, like, yeah, he wasn't a diehard Tennessee kid growing up like you were. Like, it didn't – like, playing – obviously, he didn't even go to Tennessee straight out of high school. But it's, like, for him, it's – and it's not a bad thing, but it's, like, we think, like, oh, he's going to stay and play with his brother and give his all for Tennessee. Like, no. Like, that's not him. Like, he's going to go – try to play in the NFL, and I'm totally fine that and respect that. So, you know, I'm trying to see some of these who the other ones that ran through yesterday. I thought Kyron Calvert would have maybe come back if he could have. I know that that's a long time to be in college if you're going to be there for, you know, 5-6 years or whatever. But with him being injured, I thought maybe he would come back. I think he's just been so injury prone. But yeah, you know, what are some of your thoughts on that? And I'm going to go and make sure I checked all this list correctly.
Yeah, I agree with what you said. I really feel for Theo. I think that was just icing on the cake that he got that interception, because he has been so close all year, and we've said it all year that he's one of our best defenders. Like, we went back and forth between like him and Matthew Butler being like MVP of the defense. So like him getting that pick, Matthew Butler will be sorely missed, the amount of impact that he has. I'm hoping that his character, the way he is as a person, really rubs off on everybody else in that D-line room and makes it to where younger guys coming up or guys coming into the program have the same kind of mentality he does and can produce in the exact same way that he does. I agree with the Cade thing. Love Cade. Helped coach Cade. Went to our high school in Knoxville Catholic. Love Cooper. Love their family. But Cade is about Cade. And in some senses, that is the way you should be in certain situations and scenarios. But in others, maybe you should think in the bigger picture. But Cade is about Cade. He went to Georgia because Tennessee was not a good fit for him, because he had no idea who Jeremy Pruitt was, didn't really like him, liked Sam Pittman. So he went to Georgia. That's for him. He transferred Tennessee for him. He did not transfer Tennessee to get on the Vol fans' good side, to follow his brother, to be where his dad played football because he's a huge UT fan. No, he transferred because it was the best fit for him. His offensive coordinator, his O-line coach were gone. He thought this was the best opportunity. And I guess he saw maybe Cleveland starting over him, which is the guard for Georgia who got drafted last year, and was like, hey, this is the best thing for me to go back to home, go back to Tennessee, and I'm going to try and do that. So I love that he came back, because I love having a good offensive lineman on the field. Like, that's the reason why I love it. But yeah, Cade's going to go to the NFL. That's all he's wanted to do. He has a capability to do it. He has the athleticism, the knowledge of the game, but he gets hurt a lot. He's had ankle issues since high school, and that's going to be a concern for NFL teams, and they might not take you where you think you should go because they're afraid you're going to get hurt and you're never going to be out there. So best ability is availability. But I'm excited for the future and where we're headed. I, you know, love the fact that these seniors were able to end on a high note, that after everything they've gone through, they went 7-5, they're going to a bowl, they get to enjoy that whole process of going to a bowl and feel like they possibly left it better than they found it, which is how I felt when I left. So I'm super excited for those guys and everything they're going to go through over the next month, going into a bowl game, which I guess is probably going to be Music City, if I was a betting man. But yeah, just shout out to them for being resilient and being able to roll with the punches and continue to help this team not leave and be the human beings that they are, the men that they are, because some guys did leave. Some guys jumped ship. And I think in the grand scheme of things, it tells you a lot about people's character when they do that. So that's just the way
I
see it.
I think guys like you and other good senior classes have been awesome. But the fact that these guys had a easy out, they had the easiest of easy outs. With all the crap that was going on, they could have easily left. And no one would have necessarily thought bad about it. They would have been a part of the other, you know, cajillion guys that we've heard about a million times that left, and they didn't. And it's just like, you know, whether they prayed, some of them said they prayed about it and thought about it and said, hey, this is still the best place for me. Or they really do have a heart for Tennessee and the community and the Vol Nation and the school and all that. But it's just special, man. And I'm really, really happy for them that they're going to win, you know, they exceeded expectations by a good amount. And we're going to go back and probably do one or two podcasts looking back on this entire season, like a just looking at it through a microscope and looking at everything and really thinking about all the stuff that happened. And when you're in a season, all you're thinking about is the next week after you finish. After you finish that game, it's on to the next. And you don't even get to really sit back and think of all the crazy stuff that happened this season. And all the, like Kyler, Joe Milton was our starting quarterback. Like, we thought Juwan Mitchell was going to have to be, like, our one of our best defensive players. Like, just some of these different storylines that you just forget about just make it that much more impressive on, you know, hell, we thought Jalin Hyatt was going to be one of our best playmakers. I mean, just all these different things, and that's the beauty about a football season. And I love that Heupel always says each game has its own story. Each game is its own game, and it's so true. And so I'm going to be excited to look back on that stuff. Going through some more of this list is like, you know, I hope a Trayvon Flowers comes back. Like, I think that would be huge for him. I mean, I hope – I don't know what's going to happen with Juwan Mitchell. You know, Solomon Page, that's a guy that I would love to see back again. You know, I think, you know, anything like that can help with depth. I hope Princeton Fant comes back. Ollie Lane, like some of those guys, like some of these guys that aren't going to play in the NFL, come back, get your master's, get more free education, enjoy it another year. Like, if you're not going to the NFL, you get another year being treated like a king and people loving you and maybe some NIL deals. Like, Jerome Carvin, like those guys could really benefit and benefit us as a Vol Nation and the team and really benefit themselves.
All right. So sorry to interrupt this amazing conversation, but we have a new ad. This is Lightbox. So say goodbye to dull gifts. Lightbox lab-grown diamonds are the greatest gift of the year. Using cutting-edge technology and innovative techniques, they've cracked the science of sparkle, creating the highest quality lab-grown diamonds that you can find at a light price, $800 per carat. They have the same chemical makeup of natural diamonds, but just are grown in a lab. Because of their process, they can create stones in blush pink and beautiful blue, as well as classic white. Lightbox lab-grown diamonds are the gift they'll never want to take off. Priced so they won't have to. They really do make any outfit sparkle. So visit lightboxjewelry.com to add sparkle to your holiday shopping. That's lightboxjewelry.com. Lightbox diamonds. Never a dull moment. Yeah, I agree. It's kind of crazy that a lot of this coaching talk has happened in the past hour, because I was just looking too that apparently, like, there are rumors that David Cutcliffe is out at Duke.
I kind of heard that one was coming for a while.
Yeah, so it's like this coaching carousel is kind of insane. All the options that could be happening and things that could be going on. I'm excited to see what happens. Now, I want to keep our coach for sure. No way do I want to leave Josh Heupel. But that doesn't mean that this isn't going to be a very interesting, you know, next 2 months maybe, where teams are figuring out who they want. LSU is still trying to figure out who they're going to replace, in Oklahoma now trying to figure out what they're going to do. Also, that Oklahoma is reaching out to Cliff Kingsbury, asking if he wants to come back. I really don't think that's going to be a possibility with how good Arizona Cardinals have been. this year.
Wait. What did you just say?
Adam Schefter tweeted that Oklahoma is in talks and interested in Cliff Kingsbury, the head coach of Arizona.
That's so stupid.
To come to Oklahoma. And I said, probably not going to happen because Arizona is very good right now. And they're
they have a chance to win a Super Bowl, Adam Schefter. They have a chance to win a Super Bowl. Like, the NFL's the best job of the best. Like, he doesn't give, like, give me a break, Oklahoma. Like, no one's leaving the NFL to come back to you unless they're like the Jets and they're about to get fired and like they want to, like, do insane to come back to you. Get, like, you're an idiot. Like, Oklahoma, get off the high horse.
Yeah, I have a feeling that, and I'm pretty sure this is true, but Adam Schefter's agent is the same agent that represents Cliff Kingsbury, and it's just like a thing where it's like, hey, put my client's name out there so that he gets paid more because
he has
one more year on his contract, so he can get a nice big extension if Arizona thinks they're gonna, lose him. So. I think that has to play into it. But still, fun conversations, fun stuff going on. Makes for great podcast material. So I do enjoy it.
What did you think about the game?
I liked the game. I think it was another one like last week where it is versus a very inferior opponent. So you're not necessarily watching every single snap. You're feeling very confident. But when Vandy did score, it upset me. I thought that should have never happened. I think, Vandy was getting rid of every single thing they had. They were trying every single thing that they could. It is the last game of their season. But, like, the Hail Mary before the half, the fact that they converted, three fourth downs on their last touchdown drive just really irks me. But our defense was never supposed to be the strong point of this team. Like, we've said it forever that this defense is a break but don't bend kind of thing, where they pick the opportunities to bow up, pick the opportunities to give the ball back to our offense. And they've done a great job at that all season. So am I mad that certain plays happened? Yes, but I'm not just going to say they played absolutely horrible and that they're the worst defense ever, because I've seen worse defenses. I was on the 2012 Tennessee Vols team. So there's been worse before. But like certain plays, yes, I wish didn't happen. We mentioned it before, very excited for Theo and that interception. I was very impressed of – we had, 285 rushing yards. Amazing. I mean, what a statement to say, hey, we can put any running back we want in there and they're going to succeed, having 200-yard rushers right after Tyon enters the transfer portal. And, Joe Milton still very much is a bad quarterback. I mean, as soon as Buddy gets in the game, he fumbles. It's unbelievable. Like, this guy is in the running for, like, beating Garantano out for, like, worst quarterback in Tennessee history. Like, it's honestly insane how bad he has played this year. What else? Oh, the defense. Or the offense, we only had 8 third downs the entire game. Like, that's pretty impressive. And, maybe we punted or maybe we didn't score as many points as we thought. Like, only having 8 third downs in totality is very impressive, because you're getting first downs on first and second. Like, that's hard to do. So, very impressive it was only 8. And then, as always, and I think we say this almost every game, Tillman can do whatever the fuck he wants. It doesn't matter who's guarding him. Doesn't matter if there's 2 guys guarding him. Doesn't matter if he catches it and there's 2 guys there to make the tackle. He'll do whatever the hell he wants. He'll break the tackles. He'll catch the ball. He'll jump over your damn head, and he'll score a touchdown. I absolutely love Tillman. I'm like, where the hell have you been? Thank God we have an offensive-minded coach now, because Jeremy Pruitt was just you talk about Butch and not taking advantage of guys on the team or Alvin Kamara in general. I mean, Jeremy Pruitt not taking advantage of Cedric Tillman and the player that he has become is an absolute travesty. Like, y'all see how fucking amazing this kid is, and we had no idea. We thought Jalin Hyatt was going to be our freaking savior this year. We had literally no idea about Cedric Tillman and his abilities. So I'm just so happy that Heupel is here, understands offensive play, and can make that man shine, because he is such a huge asset to this team.
I think one thing I was reflecting on this last night, and just thinking about the game and watching the game and Cedric Tillman, I'm like, dude, next time when we go to practice this year for spring practice, and then when we go back to fall camp, I got to trust my eyes, because Cedric Tillman was the guy. And it's very difficult to trust your eyes and what you see during practice, because it's like you don't know who's out for injuries and so who's not practicing. And it's like, yeah, a guy can have a great practice, but it doesn't mean he's going to be starting because the two guys in front of him are out. You know what I mean? So it's like, but what did we see this year for practice? Like, when we were practicing, Tillman was the one making the nice plays, beating people deep, like making good catches, like winning some one-on-ones. Who had a rough game or rough day of practice? Jalin Hyatt. And it's just like, he had four drops that day. And, you know, I thought Javonte Payton played very well. Like, we all knew VJ, you know, Vilas was going to do well. And it sounds really lame and kind of like nerdy, but like, I haven't been watching people and going to practice and like reporting back, like to like doing stuff like this. Like, I don't do that. Like, if I'd gone to practice when I've been to practice with you before we did this, I was just there like enjoying it, like watching and, you know, just kind of taking in the day. But now, like, I feel like I'm going to be, you know, you do stuff more, you're going to be better at stuff more. But, like, I'm just going to trust what I see. And, you know, it makes sense what I saw this year, except for the quarterback play. That one will still blow my mind from what I saw at practice to what we saw. But hey, that's why there's gamers and people that practice and practice players. But, dude, Cedric Tillman's awesome, man. Like, he's great. He's fun to watch. Not only is he can do a lot of things. He can beat you deep. He can catch a hitch. He can go across the middle. He can – you know, catch one and just take it to the house. He's a good blocker. I thought Vilas had an awesome block on one of those long runs. I liked the three wide to the right side, kind of just run everybody out, bring Cedric in on like a baby pose, deeper-ish slant. And, you know, I loved how we ran the ball. I love that. Like, we know we're going to beat them. Just run the Brock. I love seeing some speed options. I love seeing some quarterback runs. We did it with a multitude of running backs. Once again, Tyon Evans, doesn't matter. Like, you know, have fun finding your next school. We're putting up almost 300 yards rushing. Nothing against that kid, bro, but you got an opportunity to go to the University of Tennessee. Handle your business. Like, you know, handle your business. And that's all I can say. And defensively, you know, I was fine. I mean, that Hail Mary was just kind of like WTF, like what the heck. But, you know, defensively, you know, I thought it was fine. I actually thought Vandy was a little bit better than I expected. I think when you see that they lost ETSU and some of these different teams early in the year, you're thinking they're just horrendous. But, like, they played pretty well against Ole Miss the week before. I thought they competed. There's still some SEC caliber players out there for them. So, you know, I thought they – but Tennessee, once again, did what they were supposed to do. They handled business. They won the game. You know, and that's – and I don't want to comment too much more on, like, certain players that I saw, because if I say one good thing they did, like, there's a couple really good plays I thought Dane Davis had, which I was happy for him. But then someone who watched the game more intently than I did could be like, well, Reed, he gave up a sack or he did this. So I'm not going to act like I – watch the entire game and then rewatch it like I do some of the other games. I want to be honest with the people, but they handle business. Now, last thing to finish up, I want to hear you reflecting back on your senior day. Like, who did you guys play? How'd it go? Because I don't even really remember.
So, home game versus Vandy, I'm pretty sure. I remember more the beginning, the seeing my family out on the field, and the feeling that I'm not done yet. I think that added to it, to where a lot of these guys, like, it's their last game in Neyland. So that is special. They do have a bowl game, which is great. And a lot of them can feel those sad emotions of, I'm not going to play again. I'm not going to get a chance to play again, which is kind of what I felt in high school, that I wasn't going to get a chance to play with my teammates again. But I knew that I had college lined up. And then to end college, it was, I'm not sad at all. I am joyous. I am happy. I feel the best that I've felt because I did everything I could. I went out there, had no regrets. I got there and we were a 5-7 team and we ended with a 9-win season. And I did everything I could. I didn't feel like I didn't give my all while I was there. That when I tapped that sign, it was serious. It wasn't just words to me. And that made me feel just elated that I got a chance to play in Neyland, that I got a chance to play where my grandfather played, to represent Knoxville, to be a kid from Knoxville, to go there and have a good career, because a lot of guys don't have good careers there. So when I reflect, I'm very happy with how it went. I ended up winning Offensive Lineman of the Week after that game. So it was all in all just an absolutely amazing experience. The fact that I won that award was like the first offensive lineman to win it twice in one season in a long time. And I was never expected to be that great in a sense. Like, I was never expected to be a good player. I was a lot of people saw me as a 3-star, good quality guy, like not as good as, you know, some of the other guys that came in my class. And I had overall the best career of everyone that was in my class as an offensive lineman, and had a really good career than some other guys that I played around. So I'm very happy with what happened. And I that senior day was special to me, being able to share it with my family, knowing that, you know, they grew up and were Tennessee fans for a long time. And, you know, they got to see me out there and be a true, like, leader on the team my last year. And be a captain for some games. So, yeah, when I reflect on it, I'm very happy with how everything went. I'm happy how I was able to finish, how through literally hard work, and that is it, I was able to have an effect on turning the program in the right direction. So.
And that day, it's kind of that day you didn't like tear up or anything because you were like just excited, happy, joyful, and then it was like, hey, I still got a game to play. And like you said, you knew you weren't done. It wasn't the last time that you were taking your pads off.
Yeah, exactly. I felt more reminiscent and stop and think after the bowl game, where it's like, dang, like, I'm not going to put this uniform on again, than I did senior day. And yes, wasn't quite as sad because I knew I got to go out there and play. I got to have a good performance. Like, it was still, you know, there's still a game to be played. It's like, hey, I love taking pictures with you, mom and dad, brother, sister. Like, this is awesome. But I also need to like try and beat the shit out of this guy who's lined up across from me for the next 3 hours. So it's kind of a strange feeling when you go through it.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. Like, it's always no matter what level you stop or whatever, it's always either that last game or that last time. You're like, it's just weird that we've all grown up putting a helmet on every year for however long you've been playing. It's just such a part of our life. And it's just like, it's over. So, you know, it's pretty wild, but it's, I'm glad to hear that. I mean, it's funny. I'll just say this real quick that you had those feelings, that you maybe had those feelings of like, that you weren't gonna be that great, or, you know, and I know you heard other things, and a lot of athletes, they only, you know, while some athletes only hear the negative about them, they don't hear the positive. And that's kind of why they have a chip on their shoulder and work hard. And I know people don't know, for you, or some people may not know, but like, you are coming in as a local kid. And I know you call yourself a 3-star on other things. You're a 4-star and you had tons of scholarship offers, but like, you had back problems your first couple of years. You had to redshirt. Like, it wasn't an easy road. Like, you could have easily have not been who you were, but it's really impressive what you did do. And, you know, but it's just funny to hear you talk like that. Cause in no way, like, I know all the people, not necessarily even a Catholic, but just the people that I knew that kept up football, like, oh, Kyler, like, he's fantastic. Like, he's going to play very well on Saturdays and even have a chance on Sundays. And that's what happened. So for me, I was like, what happened is what I expected. And it's funny to hear you say something different, but that's just kind of how we all are. We kind of build those chips on our shoulders. And, you know, you wanted the best for those guys coming in your class, but there was still competition that you wanted to be the best O-lineman.
Yeah. It definitely was like that. Like, I was not seen as the best one in my class. And the guys in the class before me were seen as better offensive linemen than me too. So
yeah.
It was definitely like, okay, well, like, who are you coming in here? And like, some people, like coaches who would come in Butch's regime, or, you know, people coming in later and not really like covering Tennessee through like my recruitment, just automatically assumed, because I was a local guy, I was a walk-on, that like, I didn't get recruited, I didn't have a scholarship. They just like, oh, well, yeah, he's from Knoxville and he just walked on. And that's like, they just assume that. So I think that was almost like the thing too, where like, if people didn't keep up with their
wait, that actually happened. Like, I never heard this.
Who really see or go into things? They just thought like, oh, like, he's from Knoxville, he's a walk on. Like, he just walked onto the team. He's a, you know, a white offensive lineman that's just walks onto the team and not really like a.
Who assumed that? I've never heard that.
I've
never heard that.
I had an assistant.
What coach says that?
I had an assistant coach that was assistant offensive line coach that came in with Butch's staff. He came from somewhere else. He wasn't with them at Cincinnati, and was trying to motivate me or something before practice. Was like, hey, let's have a great practice today. Like, you know, realize like, you've done such a good job, like coming in, like being a walk-on, like being able to succeed. And I stopped and I was like, walk-on? It's like, I'm on scholarship. Like, I came here on scholarship. I had offers, man. Like, just
want what you do you
to
say? Get
that right. Like, I don't want you to say that. I understand what you're trying to do. I appreciate that. But I was definitely not a walk-on.
What did he say when you said that?
He was just like, oh, sorry. I thought, you know, just being a local kid, I was like, it's okay. Like, I know like wherever you were coaching before as a GA, you weren't paying attention to like Tennessee's recruiting classes. Like, you just assumed because I was from Knoxville and a local kid that
Zach loves doing these days.
And people just assume there's not a lot of talent in Knoxville also. So I think that goes into it, but yeah, I was just like, well, hold on. Like, before you keep going, no offense to the walk-ons, but like, I was not a walk-on.
So it's definitely, yeah. Who, What coach was that?
I actually like him a lot, so I don't want to like throw him under the bus. He's actually a really great dude.
I won't do that.
But he's actually a really great dude, and I still like text him from time to time. And he like wishes me happy birthday every year. So like still awesome guy. But just like there is examples of that happening where like people kind of forget where you came from, but
yeah. Oh, that pisses me off for you, but whatever. At least he's a nice guy. All right. Well, good pot.
Yeah. I appreciate
now I got to go watch coaching searches, make sure we don't lose Heupel. Cause if we do, I'm going to blow up the entire University of Ohio, or of Oklahoma.
Oh, I know. This is a big few days. I kind of feel nervous about putting this podcast out. We record on Sundays, and some other big news happening between now and Wednesday, which would really suck. But hopefully it's a little quiet the next couple of days, and we can possibly get a confirmation that Heupel's staying with us, because we love that man. Love what he's done for the program. But appreciate you guys watching, listening. Please like and subscribe and turn on the notification bell and share with family and friends. Let them know what we're doing here. Let them know this is the best podcast about Tennessee football. Our numbers have gone down a little bit on YouTube, so I need it up. I need to get those numbers up. We need more people in this believer compound here that we're building. So please join. Follow us on social media. I'm at Kyler Kurbison on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, at rbacon26 for Reed on Twitter, at Believe in Tennessee for our main account. Then also reach out to us. I got a phone number, 865-322-9232, and an email, believeintennesseefootball@gmail.com. So ask us questions. Heck, even just say, y'all are doing a great job. Appreciate what you're doing. That would makes my day whenever I see it. So please keep up with that. And, you know, rate and review on all your podcast platforms if you're listening to it on there. And just appreciate you guys. Thank you so much for all the support. What a great season that we have had this year. Who would have guessed? 7-5. So super happy with Heupel and how things are going. But as always, go Vols.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.